last year. I was a little bit late getting here, so I didn't give the prayer request to Terrence, but I want you to remember a friend of mine that passed away. 3 years ago, he lost his mother. And a year later, he lost his son, Emma, another son. This year, he lost his father. About 3 months ago, I asked you just to remember the remainder of the family. Remember him. Remember that they will seek Jesus Christ, because most of them don't have Jesus in their life. But we ask you just to remember that whole family. I mean, he was basically a young man in his early 30s. So just ask you to remember. We're going to read from St. Luke this morning, chapter 17, verse 22 through probably 37. And just remember that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this opportunity to come together to worship. Father, we pray that we will always have you in the forefront of our minds. Lord, we will think of you every day and when we rise, Lord, during the day. Lord, when we lay down to rest at night, God, that we would remember you, all that you have done for us and how that you have blessed us. Lord, that you have given us strength and have given us a knowledge and given us opportunity. Lord, that all of our souls may be saved. Lord, and we ask you to bless us, God, and never give up, but let us always remember each other. Father, when death has come and taken these bodies away, these lives away, Lord, if we haven't made ourselves ready, Lord, it's too late to do anything about it. God, we ask you to have mercy upon us, have mercy upon this service this morning. Lord, we ask you to remember the reading of your words that we will read and remember the service that follows. God, we thank you for all this. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to read, as it says, St. Luke, beginning with verse 22. 37. The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. For as the lightning that lighteth out of one part on the heaven shineth unto another part on the heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, and they drank, and they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built.
But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and destroyed them all.
Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed.
In that day,
remember Lot's wife.
Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it.
I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left.
Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, and the other left.
Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Whosoever that body is hither, will the eagles be gathered together. Amen. God bless you. Be seated.
Thank you.
Amen. Let's see, such the signs of the times that we live in. Just open the scriptures and read it. And you see the situation and where we are, especially when you see the Son of Man being revealed in our day. Amen. Brother Michael, would you come and take up the morning tithes and offering for us? Let's sing that song on page 28. Fill my way every day with His love.
Amen.
Every day we walk and get up, whether you feel like it or not, we should be walking and asking the Lord, fill my way with Your love. Amen. As we walk in the Word and receive it, Brother Branham said, we become that Word. So how many want to be filled with the love of God this morning?
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way Thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above. I'm giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way. Yeah.
Give him a clap of praise. If you've experienced his forgiveness and his love and his mercy and grace, how many have experienced that? Amen. Praise the Lord. I think even the vilest sinner out here has experienced his mercy and grace. How much more out here? How much more you, that you've come to the throne of God and you've come to his mercy and you've come to him, amen, knowing that he's the only one that can forgive sins. How much more you, the believer in this hour, that has the Holy Ghost, have received his mercy and his grace. And we just thank God for that lighthouse. We appreciate each and every one of you. We just thank God for giving us another day to serve him, amen, and to do something for him. And we just appreciate the opportunity that has been given us. Don't get too much opportunities to speak in the morning, so it's usually Wednesdays, but so I'm going to take full advantage of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we just thank God for being here amongst us. Continue to just remember Brother Wade, and I just sent him a text message, asked him how he was doing. He said he was doing good, and so he's at Brother Richard Hyatt's, and so just remember him in prayer. He's ministering this morning, and does the Lord continue to strengthen him. Satan wants to hurt him, but we know that God has already paid the price. God's the one who's got the final say, so. Amen. So we just appreciate that. Sister Peggy, Brother Dale, we're sorry we missed your anniversary celebration. We were out preaching elsewhere, but I just want to wish you all a happy belated anniversary. And we just thank God for giving you another year of life together. Together. That's important. You don't see that too much nowadays. It's how many years again? 63, somewhere in the 60s. Well, we just thank God because that's very rare in this hour. So, and we appreciate the Lord giving them that opportunity. Also, just remember all the requests that are made, the announcements. You can just look up on the website; they're all there. So, I'm not going to spend time reading them, but we're going to go ahead and go to the Word this morning, and let's read it from Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25, and I was trying to get away from the topic of the tabernacle, but I couldn't. I know Brother Wade's been on it as well, and it seems like the Lord just maybe wants to say something to us. Let's find out what he wants to say. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you once again for the opportunity to open back the pages of your word, Lord, to bring us here, Father God, with expectation in our hearts, Lord, knowing that you are the speaker in this hour, Lord. Father God, the bride, Father, doesn't have her own voice, Lord. She has your voice, Lord. Father God, she only says what you say, Lord Jesus. She only does what you do, Lord God. And she only thinks what you think, Father. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that this morning, Father God, let us receive your thoughts, Father. And not, Father God, let us lay aside all of the thoughts, all of our own thoughts aside, and all of the weights and the sins that would so easily beset us, Lord Jesus. And let us, Father God, just run this race with patience. Forgive us, Father, this morning for our sins, Lord. For Father God, we fail you in many ways, Lord. In many, many ways, Lord, we don't deserve nothing, Father God, that comes from you. But Lord Jesus, you told us, Father God, to approach you with boldness, Lord. That means, Father God, that is ours. And you want us to take it, Lord Jesus. And we ask you, Heavenly Father, to help us this morning to take what rightfully belongs to us. What you purchased for us, Lord, on the cross of Calvary, Lord. We love you. We commit this time into your hands. Bless us through your word, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Before we read, I just want to say also that I appreciate that Sunday school lesson, Brother John. We certainly enjoyed that. And you may not think, well, what has finances got to do with my spiritual life? It's got to do a lot. Because remember, the stature of a perfect man is for this outside body, right? And if we don't know how to handle money, if we don't know how to handle one another, if we don't know how to stop lying, if we don't know how to do those little things, stop cheating, stop every now and then, you know, throwing something that's not true, you know, even if as a joke and things like that, then it's got to be the Holy Ghost working from the inside out, right? And so we can think, all I need is the deep truths of the word. And you do need that. Don't get me wrong. But the deep truths of the word will lead you to live a life before others. Right. All right, so it's very important, and I believe the way you handle your finances, God has a way in the Bible for you to do that. Amen. So that's what the brother was trying to do. And so there's, you want the answers to your life? They're all in the Bible. They're all in there. Even it touches your checkbook. It does. Because that's how God set it forth. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, let's read Exodus chapter 25, and let's start at verse 10. It says, "And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shall make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put staves into the rings by the side of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the right in the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it, and thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee." And this is where I want to concentrate now. "And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold, of beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat, and make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat. Shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark." Now you watch, the mercy seat was a separate part. We can bring it here in just a moment, but a separate part from the actual ark. "And thou shalt put the mercy seat above, upon the ark. And in the ark, thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee." Watch. "And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel." Praise the Lord Jesus. So you may be seated this morning. I don't know how we can bring this over here. Maybe just set it. We'll set it on the piano the way it used to be. Praise the Lord. Y'all see that okay? All right. So, before we touch on that, let's just read Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. It says, "Seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Amen. Let us hold fast to that you know, that you have experienced, that you learned. Amen. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are." Aren't you thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ went through exactly what you're going through? Amen. And probably a whole lot more. Amen. Amen. "Yet without sin." Verse 16, "Let us therefore come weakly, doubtful, wishy-washy. No, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Now, I want you to take a look that in the Old Testament it was the mercy seat. Now Paul calls it the throne of grace. That what? That we may obtain that mercy. and find grace and conjunction. So now you just don't find grace, you just don't find mercy, you find both at the throne of grace. That you may obtain mercy and find grace, what? In the time of your need. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. What a blessed promise it is. Amen. Praise God. So I just want to talk about this morning, and I want to tell you that you are cordially invited unto the throne of grace. You are cordially invited unto the throne of grace. Now, how many have received an invitation to something special? Special invitation. Just comes in the mail, and you weren't expecting it. Maybe it was to a wedding, or maybe it was to a birthday party, you know, to a little kid. You know, if they see a card with balloons and something like, I'm invited to my friend's birthday party, yay! You know, that's very special to them, you know? They take that very seriously. And if you say, well, we'll go ahead and try to make it. It's, to them, it's like you said, we're going. So you better watch the words that you even use to your kids. When you tell them, oh, we'll try, maybe, we'll see. No, to them, that's, we're going. I want to go. Amen. But let's say you got invited to something. Let's say the Queen of England invites you to go visit and have dinner with her. That would be a very special invitation. Now, you, whatever you think about the Queen of England, hey, amen, that's up to you. I'm just giving this as an example. Amen? That would be a very special invitation, right? And you would make sure that it's something that you've never had before, and you're going to take full advantage of this invitation. Amen? And you are going to make sure that you are dressed for the occasion. You're going to make sure that you are, you've got your teeth clean. Everything is exactly in order so that you can have this dinner and fellowship with the Queen of England. Praise the Lord Jesus. And how much more? God has given us, Jesus Christ has given us an invitation in this hour. Let us therefore come boldly. Amen. How many believe that it's God speaking through Paul? Paul wasn't writing his own words. That was Jesus Christ speaking through Paul. Let us come boldly. Amen. Unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. To me, that's an invitation that God is ready to meet your need. God wants to meet your need. God is more than willing to have fellowship with you in order so that he can find out what is going on, what is happening, because I want to meet your need. I already done it. Now let me just go and meet it for you. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. But we see here in the tabernacle, when we're looking here in the tabernacle, we look here that the tabernacle in the Old Testament, as you know, the children of Israel had to walk around in the desert with the tabernacle and in the holies of holies. I know we've been speaking about the different parts of the tabernacle, but in the holies of holies, where the Shekinah glory would come down. And really, the word Shekinah isn't even anywhere in the Bible, but it's a Hebrew word that relates to God's presence. Amen? It would come down when the children of Israel, or when the high priest would go in there once a year with the blood of a bull over a lamb, amen, and would sprinkle that blood, would go in behind the veil. And remember, he had to be dressed a certain way. He had to look a certain way. He had to approach that room in a certain way. He had to go in there prayerfully. Hence, that's the reason why he had to approach the altar of incense before he approached in there. There had to be that smoke. Those prayers had to be there before he went behind that veil. And so, see, saints, that's the reason why we don't come to God any old way. We come to God, amen, in shamefulness, in humbleness, in humility, in graciousness, knowing that I'm at His mercy. Amen. How do you approach the Queen of England? What's up, Queen of England? What's up, dog? What's up, bro? Is that how we come to the Queen of England? I don't think even the biggest thug out there would even approach the Queen of England that way. No matter how much of a thug he says that he is and all that, amen. And it just makes me laugh. You know, some of the kids at school, amen, they say they're thugs that they're carrying lunch trays. A thug with a lunch tray. And following orders. But yet you a thug. But you see, you would not approach the Queen of England that way. There is a reverent way to approach the Queen of England. There are certain things that you must do, certain ways that you must look. And so the high priest would approach God in this way. He even had to smell a certain way. My, think about that. He had to even smell a certain way. Praise the Lord. And so when he would approach, he would go back behind the veil. And I'm just trying to paint a picture for you. He would have that charger that charger with the blood. Amen. Fresh blood. Amen. And he would go in there and he could not do anything else in there until he first sprinkled that blood on this mercy seat. Now, the mercy seat is this covering. I think this opens up. There we go. Now, this is the ark. The ark is a box. Now, for example, in the Bible, when it mentions an ark, for example, it was Noah's ark, right? It was a container of something, valuables, right? Noah's ark, who was contained in it? It was valuable people to God, amen. Noah and his family, the only ones that believed God in that hour. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's why it was called the ark. It's a box. It's a container of valuables, and so that's the reason why this was called the Ark of God, amen. The Ark of the Testament, the Ark of the Covenant, amen. But on top of it was the mercy seat, and it was a slab of gold that was separate from the ark. But it was to cover the contents that were inside. And the priest had to go behind here and sprinkle that blood. A certain amount of times he had to sprinkle that blood. And when God saw the blood, amen, then that Shekinah glory would come down. And that means he would say he accepted, there's mercy again for the people for another year. Now, it was called the mercy seat. And we'll take a look at just a moment what that is. What is the difference between mercy and grace? Because there is a difference. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's very interesting how God, when we were reading here in Exodus chapter 25, he starts mentioning in regards to the ark. Now pay attention. He starts mentioning in regards to the ark first in order for them to construct it. But he starts telling them to construct it. But he starts with the ark, the actual ark first. He doesn't tell them, come and construct the outside court first, then the holy place. No, he starts with the Holy of Holies first. Amen. With the ark. In other words, with the heart of the matter. Praise the Lord Jesus. That's where he starts telling them to start working on, or at least that's how he explains it there in Exodus chapter 25, which is that's what God does with us. Amen. He doesn't care about how you dress as long as, amen, he cares about how you dress, don't get me wrong, or the outsides of it, but what he cares most is about getting you right inside first. Because many people try to get right on the outside, get everything right on the outside first, and nothing inside has happened. And you are just only living a life of hypocrisy. Amen. But when God starts telling them, hey, go to the root of the matter first. Amen. And then work yourself out the outside then. everything, all the other furniture, that piece of furniture, God starts talking about first. And God wants your heart first. Yes. That piece of furniture is what God wants first. Amen. Because he knows if he can turn your heart, amen, then he can have the rest of you, amen. If he could just turn your heart first, not just your eyes. Yes. I love the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. But amen, let's turn our hearts upon Jesus. Yes. Amen. Because we want to look with our heart. We want to look with our hearts. Amen. Praise God. So he always starts with the heart, and he builds his way out. Amen. Many people that have come to church, you know it, that have come and been excited, and you've seen them change ways on the outside, but now they're not here anymore. For whatever reason. Maybe they moved or something like that, but maybe they've fallen spiritually. Why? Because the work wasn't done inwardly first. There was not that inward work. There was not that inward thing that happened, that inward relationship between God and that person. And therefore, you see them fall off. You see people fall off, die off, get bored, never come to church again. Do everything contrary to what they felt. I feel so good. I'm so happy about God. Let's see 5 years later down the road where they're at. That's the reason why, saints, you are blessed, amen, that God has still preserved you even in this hour. Amen. You are blessed people that you are still persevering. Yeah, the way hasn't been easy. Everything has been tough. You've had to deal with family. You've had to deal with problems at church. You've had to deal with all kinds of things. Maybe troubles at work. Amen. But you are still persevering. And it doesn't matter what happens on the outside. You are still here because God has called you. God has started a work in you. God has started a work in you. That's the most important thing. So now this ark and this ark right here, this chest or this coffer, because back in that day, you know, people held coffers and chests in their place, in their house, and it was to hold valuables, right? And when you would go visit your uncle, you know, during Christmas time or during Thanksgiving, I don't know that they didn't have that back then, but I'm just saying, you go visit your uncle, and he'd be like, "Hey, son, look what I got here," and he'd pull out his ark, his chest full of goodies, and check out this gun I got the other day. Look, we went the other day when we was at Brother Elisha's house. I'm sure maybe they're watching in right now. He took us down to his basement. Now over there in Lorain, Ohio, those houses they look like they're small, but man, they got some huge basements. I mean, up north, and I know in Toronto, where my wife grew up, you know, they make the houses like that. They look small on the outside, but under, hey, it's a whole new different world. Brother Elisha took us downstairs, down to the basement, and he showed us all his goodies in his coffer. He had guns, he had fishing rods, he had all kinds of stuff. Amen. Because we were his guests. And you know what, saints? God has had placed goodies in this box right here for the high priest to take a look at. Amen. Every time that he went back there, praise God, he could go in, step in and look at those goodies. Amen. And it wasn't just goodies. It was the word, the commandments. Amen. It was the manna that never spoiled, and it was Aaron's rod that budded. And that would just bring a fresh joy to him once again. Praise the Lord Jesus. But in this ark, there were special things that were stored in there. Now, I want you to think about that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul told us this. He says, "But we have this treasure in what? In earthen vessels." The treasure of Christ, amen. The treasure that God paid for, Christ paid for. Now that treasure is not just laying in a box. Amen. That word is not just now in a box. That word now is living in jars of clay. Praise God. It's now living in a flesh people. Amen. In a body. And as I mentioned last time, God wasn't just interested in dwelling in a holy of holies, and then in Solomon's temple, and then not even just pleased, although he was pleased, but not just pleased with dwelling in Jesus. Because the body of Jesus was an ark, right? Now he wants to dwell in a people. And he wants to walk in a people. He wants to talk through a people. He wants to live through a people. And that's the ultimate, saints. The ultimate is that God can dwell in a sinful a person's heart, because he has changed it from the inside out. You who are a drunkard, you who are a fornicator, you who are vile, you are all of this, and yet God told you to come boldly.
Yes.
Oh, God. That's mercy and that's grace.
Amen.
You don't deserve it. I don't either. But he invited us to it.
Amen.
And when we don't go, amen, that's between, that's up to you. But the invitation is open.
Yes.
The invitation is open. Yes. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So as you can see, the mercy seat was only just a cover or a lid, right? And remember, there was blood sprinkled on it year after year. So it was blood stained, right? It was blood stained. But you see, it was only a cover. And it could not take the people's sins away. It was only just to cover sins. It's interesting that God told them to place the blood there. Amen. So it was only a cover. And no one literally sat on that mercy seat. No one physically sat on it. Even though it was called a mercy seat, no one literally sat on that mercy seat. Amen. Because it was just only for the sprinkling of the blood. Praise God. And we're going to get to something here in just a moment. Amen. Amen. Hence the fact that sins were only covered, amen, and they were not done away with. Amen. Sins were only covered and not done away with, not eradicated. They were only covered, praise God. Amen. And this mercy seat, saints, was the only place, amen, within the ark to obtain mercy. Amen. When the high priest would go in there, it was the only place that he had, that he couldn't sprinkle the blood anywhere else. It had to be behind. It had to be on this mercy seat. He couldn't sprinkle the blood on the altar of incense. He couldn't sprinkle the blood anywhere else. It had to be on top of this mercy seat in order to obtain mercy. Amen. Praise God. Now, I want us to read here in Hebrews chapter 10, if the brothers can bring it up. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9. Watch what Paul says here. He says, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Speaking of the old covenant, now he is establishing the second covenant. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Amen. And every priest standeth. Now watch. I want you to pay attention to that. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Notice how Paul uses the word standeth or standing. Because there was nowhere when the priest would go in there. And then the high priest would go inside that holy of holies. Amen. There was no seat in that tabernacle.
Amen.
None of the furniture. There was a chair in there for them to sit at.
Right.
Now maybe they might add it later. But then that's man involving themselves and adding things into God's word that has no business being there. That's the reason why we get in trouble sometimes. When we add things that that are not in line with his word, we get in trouble.
Yes, right.
Amen. When you add your own opinion or your own chair in there for you to rest on that, God doesn't care about your chair.
Yes.
Amen. God wants you to do it according to his word.
Yes.
Praise the Lord Jesus. exactly according to his word. Now he says here, and so the priest always would have to be standing. They'd go in there standing. And the high priest would go behind that Holy of Holies standing, offering the whole, that blood there on the mercy seat. And he says, but this man, what man? But this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. Now, why is it that Paul is so concentrated on standing up and sitting down? See, he offered sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. What is the right hand of God? It's the power of God. Amen. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. How many here are sanctified? So you've been perfected, right? I want you to look at the word and you start confessing yourself in that word, putting yourself in that word. Amen. So I want you to take a look here just a moment. Jesus Christ, when he went behind the veil spiritually, right? He didn't stand. Amen. He sat down for good. And what does a king do, amen, when he sits on a throne? When he conquers a land, when he conquers another country, when he conquers a people, what does he do in order to let the people know, hey, I'm in charge now? He sits on that throne. He sits on that throne, amen. Praise God. Now you say, oh, it's just Jesus. He's sitting on the throne and he's conquered everything. He's conquered death, hell, and the grave. And that's wonderful. But the thing is, saints, is that he wants us to sit with him. Yes. And look what Ephesians tells us. Praise God. Well, if you continue reading there, it says, from henceforth, expecting to his enemies. Well, we already read that. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And Ephesians 2 verse 4 tells us, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Amen. Amen. Aren't you thankful for his grace? Amen. Watch this in verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together. Amen. So it's not just God now sitting. It's not just Jesus Christ sitting, amen. But he is now, we are now sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are now sitting together with him in Christ Jesus. In other words, the power that he obtained, we got. The mercy that he is, we are. We just didn't obtain mercy, we are mercy. He is not just, he didn't just obtain mercy. He is mercy. Amen. Amen. He is grace. I believe there's actually a song that Sister Brenda Lewis wrote that was called, We Are Mercy, We Are Grace. Amen. We are mercy. We are grace in this hour. He is mercy. He is grace. He's not just, he cannot just provide those things for us, but he is those things to us. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So the believer now sits and rests with him on that seat. Amen. You are just as much powerful as he is. You have just as much right as he does. Amen. That's the reason why he raised, when he conquered death, hell, and the grave, he rose and he said, all power is given unto me both in heaven and in earth. Praise God. And did you raise with him when he rose? Did you die with him when he died? Amen. Were you there when he, amen, in the life? Yes, you were there. You weren't physically there, but you were there in life. Praise God, in his life, because his eternal life, right? So you are just as much powerful, amen, as he is. Now he is not, now is he's not just a high priest that went back there one time and offered it and then the good, let's wait for another year. No, he sat down on this. And he said, go ahead and just rent that veil. And that's why that veil was rent. Amen? That's why that veil was rent from top to bottom, signaling that it was God who's doing the work here. And it's not a man thing. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So, but the problem that we have, and I mentioned this last time, is that we like to just sew that thing back up. We like to sew that veil back up with our own ideas, with our own things, with our own opinions, and then we're the ones who make a division between you and God. God doesn't make the division. You make the division. Because let me tell you, when you open that veil, God is still sitting there waiting for you. The way you left him, that's the way he's going to be. Amen. The way you left him, that's where you'll find him. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Amen. You know, Brother John showed a picture of a cake there, and it looked nice and rich. How many like cake? Wake up! How many like cake? Amen. How many like some rich cake? Amen. How many like cake that just, chocolate cake that just sort of tastes like chocolate? No, you like it for it to be nice and chocolatey, right? Amen. I like when I eat a candy bar that I know it's supposed to be like 90% cocoa. I want it to taste like chocolate. I don't want it to taste like Skittles, you know? When I'm going to eat something, I want it to, that's supposed to be chocolate, I want it to taste like chocolate. Amen. And when we partake of God's grace, when we partake of God's mercy, amen, the exceeding riches of his grace, amen. When you go for grace to God, you want it to taste like grace. Amen. You don't want it to taste like condemnation. You don't want it to taste like you shouldn't have done this, you shouldn't have done that. And then you want it to taste like grace because that's what you approach God for. Amen. When you go for mercy, you want it to taste like mercy because that's what you approach God for. Amen. And he wants to give it to you. He's ready to give you that chocolate cake. Amen. It's right there. Come taste the richness of the goodness of the mercy and the grace of God. Amen. Can't you see that I'm sitting here? I've overcome the devil. I've overcome hell. I've overcome the grave. I'm sitting in my throne, and now you can come boldly? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what he wants us to do, because he just doesn't want to sit there on his own. He wants us to overcome alongside with him, to sit with him. You know, when you see the Queen of England, or when you see kings and queens in the past, you normally see the king and the queen sitting next to each other. That's how God sees you right now. God is not looking at your faults. God is not looking at your failures. God is only looking at the work that he did. God is looking at the blood that he's already sprinkled, amen, shed. It wasn't just sprinkled, it was shed, amen. And he's looking, amen, at the power that I have to free you from whatever problem you have. You might say, oh, I can't go to God. I've done so much. I've sinned my way out of grace. No, you haven't. None of us have. None of us have, because you are still living and breathing. You're still here. You can't sin too much, and you can't fail God too much that his mercy and grace can't pick you back up. The thing is that we need to come boldly, knowing that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So just as Jesus Christ, as I said, mentioned earlier, just as Jesus Christ is mercy and grace, amen, we who are in him and he in us are also mercy and grace. We just don't get mercy and grace. We are mercy and grace. Amen. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So if he's mercy and grace and you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you are mercy and grace, then what should you be? What should you do for others? Well, brother so-and-so, man, he did me wrong. Sister so-and-so, man, I just can't stand the way she talks to me. Goodness gracious. I just can't stand, man, that brother, man. He just chews gum all up in the church house, man. And, man, I just can't stand the way he does it and the way, you know. I just can't stand. Amen. What about mercy and grace? You know, sometimes we're so quick to just throw it out and shell it out on people. And we don't look at ourselves. We don't look where we're wrong. Amen. It's somebody else's fault that things are happening the way they are. But it's never your fault. It's never your fault. You don't look at yourself, but you look at others. I think that's a problem. Amen. You are in need. You're standing in need of much more mercy and grace than anybody else. Just as much. I'm not saying more, but just as much. Amen. Oh, we love to condemn. But if you say you're a Christian and you have His mercy and His grace, yet you don't shell it out, then who are we? Are we really Christians? Because let me tell you, saints, God saved you when you were unsavable. Amen. I know this is simple. Amen. But let me tell you what. Amen. Some of us need that. Some of us need this. You were unsavable. You were heading to hell just like I was, just like any one of us were. You needed just as much of His grace and His mercy. And the wonderful thing is that He's ready to give it to you. So you can't sin away your day so far that he can't provide you mercy and grace. Or better yet, that He can't make you mercy and grace. Hallelujah. Amen. And He says here that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Amen. If I give Zach a gift, I don't expect for him to return it back to me, give it back to me. I'm not going to ask him for that again. Because that was a gift for him. Praise the Lord. That's his. Amen. Ephesians 1, 6 through 7. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted. And I like the way he uses this word. He says, in the beloved. Yes. Not with the beloved, but in the beloved. In, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of what? Of His grace. Amen. Now, it's not just grace this in this hour, saints. It's that double-double. It's that double grace. And we'll talk about that here in just a moment. Praise God. So, saints, this mercy seat right here, you notice in the New Testament, is not called mercy seat anymore. Amen. We reference to it as mercy seat. But now it's become a throne of grace. So now it's not just the holies of holies. Now it's a throne room. Praise the Lord Jesus. All right. So going back to Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly. You know, looking at that word, it just reminds me of just Brother Boyd. That word boldly. Brother Boyd. Brother Boyd's got that bold beard. Come boldly. Amen. Unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Now the obtaining of mercy is still there. But now as we're coming unto the throne of grace, in order to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Zechariah 4:7 tells us this. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone, thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Amen. So I believe that that's speaking of this headstone, right? So in this hour, saints, it's not just grace, it's double grace. Well, you don't know what Sister So-and-so did to me. You better apply that double grace. Well, you don't know what brother rubs me off the wrong way every time I look at him. You better apply that double grace. Brother don't even say anything to me. He don't even shake his hand. He just walked right by me and just, amen, double grace. Double grace in this hour. Because you know what? You know what's going to what's going to invite people? It's your double grace. What's going to attract people to Jesus Christ? Your double grace. It ain't going to be your condemnation or you better do it like this, that, and the other. Pow! No, it's going to be your double grace. You know what? That man, that guy that says he's a Christian, he is a Christian. Man, look at the stuff that I do around him and stuff like that, and he still treats me right. Look how much I've failed, and yet he still, isn't that God? Look at you, the way you fail him on a daily basis. And he still meets my needs. And he still loves me. And he still supplies everything that I need. And he still gives me his word. Isn't that God? Amen? Sure, there's people out there that don't deserve it. I was one of them. And you were one of them. But we need it. And they need it. And you and I are the only people that can offer it to them. If we have if we have that grace in us, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. So Zechariah tells us, crying, grace, grace unto it. Amen. Think about this, saints. When Jesus Christ died and rose from the grave, now, you look at many examples of Jesus' life with his disciples. The 3.5 years that he spent with his disciples. Look at the time when Peter was walking on the water. Amen. How God, Jesus displayed his mercy. Amen. And picked Peter off the water even in his unbelieving hour. Amen. We've talked about that. And I love that story. Amen. We just had a good time last Sunday. Amen. I preached that message, come, and at their brother Gene Williams church, man, and we just had such a good time, man. And I hadn't had church like that in a long time, man. It just felt so good. They preach you to death over there. So Jesus showed mercy, showed grace, but you watch after Jesus died and resurrected. It wasn't the disciples going to go look for the disciple for Jesus. It was Jesus going to go look for the disciples. Because when he resurrected, he was so concerned about Peter. He was so concerned about the disciples that he even told Mary Magdalene. He said, you go tell Peter. Name them by name. Go tell them disciples about what you just saw. And what happens? They're there boo-hooing and crying in a room and scared. President Biden's going to raise our taxes. Oh, my. Look at this. Oh, all this stuff that's going on. And Jesus just appears before them and says, fear not. He didn't tell them anything else. At the beginning, he just said, fear not. Fear not. If your taxes get risen, they rise, oh well. God will make a way. Amen. Biden isn't God. Amen. I am God. Praise the Lord. The economy isn't God. The U.S. government isn't God. I am God. And what? I am sitting on the throne. Remember, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Biden never said that. Amen. The CIA never said that. The FBI never says that. The IRS definitely never said that. But Jesus Christ and his word said that. So who are you going to believe? Amen. His word is our absolute. Praise the Lord Jesus. He comes in there and he appears before them and he tells them, fear not. And he goes to them. He doesn't wait for them to come to him. He goes to them and applies what? Double grace. Because listen, Peter had denied Jesus. Peter, man, he was gone. I mean, he was in sin. He didn't deserve nothing from him anymore. And yet God, Jesus Christ, goes to them, amen, and applies double grace. Let's take it a step further. He leaves them for several days, and they go off fishing. They say, well, I don't know if he's going to come back again. I don't know if he's going to ever just appear before us again. I don't know if he'll ever do that again. So I'm just going to go back to doing what I'm doing. And I wonder if that's just kind of like us sometimes. Oh, we have one experience with God, and then several days pass and months pass, and you don't see the Lord doing something in your life again. Well, let me just go back to doing what I used to do. That makes me feel good. Amen. That helps me enjoy my flesh a little bit more. Amen. Something fleshly. And you know what? They went back to fishing. And Jesus goes to them and meets them where they were at. He goes to the shore, to the beach, and he's there probably watching them, and he's cooking fish. And he never went fishing himself. They go to the shore, they come to the shore, and they're like, you know, after they realize it was Jesus, they come to the shore, and he's there cooking fish, and Jesus was never anywhere on the boat with them. He just told them, you go ahead and set that net to the side, and they caught their fish, but when they came to the bank, he was already cooking fish. Oh my, that's like Jesus, amen? Praise God. But what was he there for? He was there to reiterate that grace to them. Did they deserve it? No, they didn't. Especially Peter. You know, Peter means rock. That's a hard man. That's a hard person. It's hard to deal with hard people. But that's who Jesus wanted more. That's who Jesus wanted more. He wanted the hardest case to deal with the hardest case. Sometimes we give people up so easily, when in reality, those are the ones who usually come out better than many, because those are the ones who've truly experienced the grace of God. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So Jesus applies his double grace there. Amen. Amen. Let's just move quickly. Amen. What is the difference between mercy and grace? Mercy is the act of withholding deserved punishment. So the high priest would come in here every year. The children of Israel had sinned that whole year. But when that blood was applied, mercy was applied to the people, right? So it was mercy is the act of withholding deserved punishment. And it was only withholding for a year. Every year that priest, that high priest, had to go back in there to apply the blood. But watch what grace is. Grace is the act of giving unmerited favor. Amen. You don't deserve it, but I'm going to give it to you. I want you to think about that for a moment. All right? You know, mercy, if mercy is God acknowledging, hey, yeah, you sinned. You did wrong. But you do something, and then I'll forgive you for that. Right? Grace is just unmerited grace. Amen. Unmerited favor. You don't have to do anything. Amen. You get grace. Now, don't get me wrong. Amen. You've got to come to God. Amen. In order to obtain mercy and grace, you've got to humble yourself. Amen. You've got to ask for forgiveness. Your mom can't do it, and your dad can't do it. Nobody can do it for you. You've got to do it for yourself, because you have to experience it for yourself. Mercy and grace, watch, are two sides of a coin. And the coin is love. Yeah, you have a coin. You got two sides. They're part of the same coin, and that coin is love. Amen. The love of God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, I want us to look here in regards to thinking about that now we are sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're not standing. We're not like the priests anymore, standing, doing works and doing what we're supposed to do, you know, every year. And I'm going to do it like this and doing that. No. Now we are sitting. We are what? Resting together in Him. Right? If you read with me in Esther chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Now, it's so interesting that this chapter is the number 5. What does 5 represent? Grace. Now, it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel. Let me background here. If you don't know, there was several days, several months, actually, I think, that Queen Esther had not fellowshipped with the king. Queen Esther was a Christian. I'm just saying, I'm bringing it down today. Right? Back then, there was nothing like that. But Queen Esther had gotten saved. She heard the message. She knew she was part of the bride. She was a queen. She knew that. But something happened that she lost communication with the king. She lost that fellowship with the king. I wonder if that doesn't happen to us. If we're not careful, we are very quick to lose communication with our king. And then we're wondering, what is happening? The king doesn't want to see me anymore. Now you're making judgments. You're making prejudgments that God doesn't want to speak to you. That God doesn't want to, that you're now in condemnation. That now you are not, he won't ever forgive you. And that was far from the truth. That was the things that Esther was thinking about. Because she was saying, how can I approach the king now? Because if I go and approach him now, it'll just be death. He won't want to receive me anymore. She had not had that intimate time with the king. But she just said, you know what? He told me to come boldly, just as he said in Hebrews. Amen. And so I'm just going to go in boldly. Amen. That's what the bride says in this hour. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, just as the high priest would have to put on his apparel to enter into the holies of holies, right? Just as you have to put a certain apparel before you go meet the Queen of England. Amen? Or somebody important. Esther had to go put on her apparel before she went to meet the king. Now remember, the king already knew her. The king already, she was the queen. She was part of him, right? Yet she still had to do these things. Amen? In the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king, watch, and the king sat upon his royal throne. Remember, what did Jesus Christ do? He sat on the throne. Amen? In the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king, wasn't that Esther saw, but it was when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court. See, the queen was, she was worried. She was standing when she should have been sitting next to him. But she's standing, trying to do her own thing, amen, for months. And so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Amen. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Amen. That golden scepter is like the mercy seat. Amen. Is made out of gold. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther? In other words, what do you need, Queen Esther? Amen. And what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. I like the difference of this is that God has given us all everything already. He ain't going to just give us half. Amen. He's given us everything. All power is given unto him, both in heaven and earth. And if you abide in him and he abides in you, all that power belongs to you. Amen. Praise God. So Esther had to come before the king in a certain way. And she was the one that needed grace. And there was grace there for her to receive. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God. So how are you coming to him? Amen. It might be months. You might have fallen off the wagon, so to speak. But the king is waiting. The king is waiting. You just come boldly to the throne of grace. Look what the prophet says here. Father, we are laying aside now every other thought, cleansing our minds, and we're coming in thy presence for the cleansing of our soul. And we bring before us the blood of the Lord Jesus. We're confessing that we're not worthy of any blessing that you would give us. But because that he died that we might obtain these blessings and have told us to come boldly before the throne, that we have access to these blessings through the grace of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Who came to earth, Emmanuel, and taken the place of the sinner. He became we, that we might become he. Watch what he says here. What an exchange, Lord. Amen. Amen. A sinful, hell-bound life that we had. And to know that one came and taken that life upon himself and purged our sins by the shed blood of his own life. It's more than our hearts could ever think about, Lord. And then besides all of that, he made a way to take away our iniquity and to heal us by his stripes. We're so thankful that he promised that he would keep us well while we... I guess that's all I got there. Amen. Praise the Lord. So there's nothing you have to wait for, saints. Amen. If you're having an issue in your life, if you're having a problem in your life, if you're concerned, if you're sick, if you're weary, if you're tired, if no matter what your road is like, amen, just come boldly to the throne of grace. Because he not only wants you to just come and kneel before him, he wants you to sit with him on the throne of mercy. In the throne of mercy. Praise God. If you're having condemnation, that's nothing to him. Sickness, that's nothing to him. Amen. Just come. What did he tell Peter while he was in the water? Just come. I'll take care of the rest. All you got to do is come. Amen. So if anybody, we'll be more than glad to pray for you this morning. But if you feel, amen, that you need to come. Amen. If you can do it there in the seat, or you can, amen, wherever, at home or wherever, amen. But just go to him, because there's no time to waste. Amen. Esther had something urgent. There was if you read the story, there was an urgent matter taking place. It was the death of her people. And right now, the death angel is going by. Amen. People are dying. People are getting sick. People, there's chaos in the land. There's no time to play tiddlywinks. Amen. With God, it's time for us, amen, to get serious and approach the throne of God with boldness. See, fearful, amen, but with boldness. Amen. Respectfully, but with boldness. Boldness is, you told me so, Lord, so I'm going to go do it. Amen. I like that story that Brother Branham says. Amen. If I come to your house and you tell me to make a sandwich and stuff like that, and make myself a home, I'm going to go ahead and do that. Right? I'm going to. You say, hey, the house and the refrigerator, everything. You get whatever you want from the refrigerator. I've been in homes where people have told me that. Get whatever you want. Now I never do. But you see, they're courteous. But you see, you have a right to, because they gave you that right. So I can go downstairs to the, you know, wherever they put me, and I can come back upstairs to the kitchen, and I can go ahead and make me an egg sandwich or make me a tuna sandwich. You got some tuna around, you know, a late night snack, everything. Oh, I see a bag of Tostitos there, and here's the salsa. Oh, man, it's brand new, too. I'm going to go ahead and open it because he said, make yourself at home. And that is what God is telling us, saints. Make yourself at home because this is my home. This is my domain. This is my power. I've overcome. This is my place. And now I want to give you that same power. Amen. Open up that bag. Dip and just enjoy. Amen. Enjoy in his blessings. Amen. So you're cordially invited. Amen. Don't sit there and die in your condemnation. Don't sit there and die in your wallowing. Amen. Just come boldly because the price has been paid. Everything has been taken care of. And now you have freedom in this hour. Praise God. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. The musicians come. Amen. You know, sometimes, you forgive us, sometimes messages come to us and you have, you're so excited about when you're writing the notes and everything like that, and then sometimes, you know, you might chop it up as you're preaching, but hey man, if you could just get this realization that he wants you to come boldly, amen, to his throne. It's not just a throne of mercy, it's a throne of grace. It's turned from mercy seat to a throne of grace. But in that throne of grace, you can obtain mercy for your time of need. Amen. God bless you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch.
Same hour. Just believe on him now. Sing that. Praise God. Praise God.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. praise God, praise God, praise God.
Jesus, hallelujah. Amen. You believe it's amazing grace? Amen. It's not just grace, it's double grace. Praise God. Amen. How many love the Lord? Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll be dismissed after we pray. If anybody has an urgent need on their heart, we're more than glad to pray for that. Amen. But you just go ahead and just come to Him. Amen. Where you are. Amen. Don't worry about, amen, Subway ain't going nowhere. Taco Bell ain't going nowhere. Amen. I know we hungry and stuff, but amen, we should be hungry for God. Amen. We just rush out of here and then we don't think about anything else because we got to keep a schedule. And what about God? What about God? God is offering this grace to you, but we want to keep our own schedule. It's got to be this way. Amen. And God is there. Where, you just heard my word. Now where's my praise? Where's my worship? Amen. God is waiting for it. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for the opportunity to have preached your word, Lord. And we just, Father God, invite you, Lord Jesus, Father. You've invited us, Lord God. Now we come to you, Lord, and now we invite you, Father, to come inside of us, Lord. You promised that you would meet every need, Father, that you'd apply everything that has to do with grace in our lives, Lord, because, Father God, you've conquered death, hell, and the grave. And now, Father God, it's not just a mercy seat, Lord God, where no priest would ever sit on it, Lord God. But now you, the high priest, Father, of all high priests, has set, Father God, on that throne. And now you conquer, Father, over death, hell, and the grave. And you want us to conquer with you, Lord. You want us to sit with you, Father. Help us, Lord, to believe your word in the hour of our need, Father God, for whatever it is, Lord Jesus. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Father. We just appreciate all that you've done for us, all that you are doing now, and everything that you will do. And most of all, Lord, thank you for mercy and thank you for grace. We commit ourselves now into your hands. And we just commit this time, bring us back this afternoon, Lord, that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, that we may be ready to feast upon your word. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Sing that as we're dismissed.
I was blind.